Welcome to DigiTimes, Illinois, home to the speakings of Sasquatches and the Native Americans and ghostly paranormal activity of the 21st century. I'm your host, Fatty Moss, time to rock and roll. Let's get this party started. Today's topic, the Giant of Kandahar and the battle with the Navy SEALs. Dun-dun-dun. So this is how it plays out. So the Giant of Kandahar is about 10 to 15 feet tall, possibly Nephilim, encountered by two U.S. Army squadrons. It had six fingers and toes and supposedly had a second row of teeth behind the first. It wore canvas or animal hide on its feet, like moccasins. The story, the first mention of this story comes from Stephen Quayle during an interview with George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM, claiming it was still a classified event. When a squad failed to signal their position or send a distress signal, a special ops task force was deployed to find them in an area so remote that they had to fly in from 4 kilometers away onto the crest of a plateau. The rescue unit descended a slope, finding a trail which led to a large cave entrance surrounded by rocks. Nearby, pieces of broken U.S. military equipment were scattered. Before they could enter, a red-haired giant emerged and attacked them. One of the soldiers was impaled by the giant's spear, killing him, and the infantry shot at the creature for 30 seconds straight before it died. A helicopter came to transport the body to a secret location for study. Cooperation. After the Steve Quayle interview, Lynn Marzelli was able to identify and interview two people with the insider information. Mr. K, Mazzali's first witness, Mr. K, codenamed the shooter, was a member of the squad which gunned down the giant. He was able to give more information about the event. The soldier killed by the giant was named Dan. The squad were armed with M4 submachine guns, 308x7.62 recon carbine sniper rifles, and 50 BMG Barrett semi-automatic rifles. According to him, the cave was filled with the remains of human bones, leading the military to believe that the creature was cannibalistic. The U.S. G didn't disclose the event and has no intention of doing so because giants don't match with the way we could explain our world. We'd have to ascend to the next dimension. The squad sent a 9-line medevac request after killing the giant. However, before leaving, they received a new code and the helicopter rose from the ravine below and discharged hauling nets to take the body to a secret location for study. Afterwards, a Chinook chopper arrived to transport the team to base for debriefing. The soldiers were ordered to sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, and falsify the final report. The C-130 cargo plane team who transported the body estimated it weighed at 500 kilograms. One of the pilots noticed a terrible stench of musk and dirt from the body, like a man who didn't shower for 10 years, more intense than a skunk and a close to that of a pile of rotting corpses. Mr. D, on his way to meet with Mr. K, Marzulli discovered that his driver, Mr. D, was a military veteran who had served in Afghanistan a few years later and had also had information about the event. When we came back to the base, we would hear our colleagues talk about a unit that had found and killed a person inside of the cave of the entrance of a cave. At first, I didn't think much of it, but then I've heard that fellow's size was 3 times that of a human being, and that he had more fingers and toes than a normal man, that he had red hair, and that a special unit was looking for him. Mr. D. Marzelli asked Mr. D whether he believed people have a right to know, to which he replied without hesitation, "My idea is that if things go exactly as the Bible says, they don't want it. If things go against Darwin's evolution, it can't be spoken out." He stressed that the story was something all military knew about, and it took us something that really happened even when meeting other Afghan militaries who served elsewhere. They also heard of it. In the beginning, you'd think it must be a joke, a hoax, but when things started to go down a certain way, when you keep hearing about the story, you realize that it's not just a joke. They kept on telling us to the point our weapons up high. Normally, this means 2 shots in the body and 1 in the head, but they told us to point them always to the head of a man and then a little higher, and we wondered why they wanted us to shoot above a man's head. Mr. D. The paranormal phenomenon of it. Mr. D further reported that were other paranormal phenomena in Afghanistan which wouldn't and couldn't be explained, such as lights in the sky and tennis ball-sized spheres which flew around making strange sounds. He had similar experience in Iraq as well, near the Hadafa Dam area. While he was on duty in the prisons below the dam, prisoners screamed about a terrible feeling that haunted the place. Supposedly, an angel had been chained in that place, saying to the sixth angel, which had the triumph, loosed the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Revelations 9:14-15. Nephilim lance. The 6-kilogram Nephilim lance, a spear tip, was supposedly the same weapon used by the giant of Kandahar to kill that one infantryman.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a lost race of Nephilim. I don't know, but just trying to make history make sense for you. That being said, this is Digitized Illinois. I'm your host, Fatima, and I'm out of here.